Yes, praise you, Father. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that our prayers are being answered even as we speak. We thank you, Father, for giving us the faith, the enduring faith to believe and trust you for everything we pray for, Lord. It's nothing that we do other than just trust you. And we praise you, we glorify you that tonight's going to be an awesome time. Nobody's going to have any trouble with their communications. They're going to be sitting in here and not have to worry about lights going out or internet going out or anything. We command complete good internet connections and everything else working just fine in Jesus' name. And we ask and we pray, Father, for this open heaven that you've afforded us. And Lord, we know that. We thank you for it. We know that when we pray tonight for anybody or anything, that it's going to happen. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask and we pray for your angels to be around about this fellowship to guard us from all attacks of the enemy in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the man child that's coming soon. And I praise you, Father, for the resurrection of the dead that's coming soon, too, in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to lead this party. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Standing in the ashes. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests? I do. Y'all just agree with me, okay? Lord, I lift up our fellow UVMers that are suffering from any kind of infirmity. And I thank you, Lord, that we're believing by faith that you've already done this healing in all of them. In Jesus' name, we're not going to let go. We're not going to trust anything but you, Lord, because we know that you're the healer, not the doctors, not the medicine, not anything else but you, Lord. And we praise you, Father. We're going to see things like we've never seen them before. People that the doctors have given up on, Lord, we thank you that you're the one that's going to pull all of us through, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your healing for all of us in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for DNA restoration in all of us in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for all of those out there that have any kind of infirmity within the sound of my voice. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ healed you at the cross by the stripes of his back. And I thank you, Father, that they are healed right now in Jesus' name. We declare and decree it by the blood of Jesus that everybody within the ear side of us, in the ear hearing of us, is healed in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Or have a testimony? I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's my testimony. Yeah, Marissa. I see a smile on this girl's face.
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. So I want to give a testimony because thank you guys so much for all your prayers on Tuesday. It was so encouraging. And Jared, my husband, he was listening and he said he just felt so much love from everybody. And we were both really, really encouraged. And so today I did have my ultrasound at that specialty hospital. And but I have to just give so much praise to the Lord because he just gave Jared and I so much peace. Like I wasn't fearful at all. And all last night, you know, I just kept battling, you know, thoughts. Like I remember Missy, you saying like, just thinking about like when Jesus was tempted by Satan, you know, he just kept coming back with verse after verse. And so I just was writing down verse after verse and listening to David's healing or teachings on healings and just believing, like knowing what the scriptures say. And so I just had all that in my heart. And we were praying and reading those on our way up there today. And so, you know, praise the Lord. So, the ultrasound, it doesn't matter though, but it did show that the stomach was up there by the heart of the baby. But it didn't even matter because I don't even believe that, you know, that report. Like, I know that this baby is going to come out completely healed. And they did, you know, they were able to give us kind of like they, I mean, so I guess this hernia or whatever doesn't even matter because it's not there, but it's like mild, moderate to severe or whatever. And the severe cases, I guess, go to surgery, which praise the Lord. Yesterday when Jared and I were praying, he said he felt like the Lord was telling him, like, we're not going to have to do surgery. And praise the Lord, like they, whatever, categorized it as moderate. So it's not a surgical candidate, which praise the Lord. But if you guys would just believe with us that the way they described it, which the Lord can do anything, so it doesn't even matter. But they just said that where the stomach is kind of up in the chest, that like the heart could be pushing on the lungs. And so the lungs, you know, they say might not develop really, you know, or whatever, but it doesn't matter because the Lord controls all breath and life. And he's, you know, he's just the God of healing. And so I'm just so thankful. They said too, that I could deliver it, you know, potentially, you know, naturally, which is what I'm going to believe for. And so I'm really encouraged, even though, you know, they want us to go to another specialty hospital, but, I don't really feel convicted about just going and just like, they want to do another ultrasound or something, but, cause it doesn't matter. Like I know that, but they want me to deliver at that hospital, which it doesn't even matter either with that too. Cause I don't want to be like legalistic about it, but if you guys would just pray and believe that this baby is going to have the biggest lungs and it's just going to be, I mean, he's already just completely healed and completely just healthy. And so thank you guys so much for your prayers and your believing and just standing on the word with us and encouraging us. So thank you guys.
You muted, Michael.
Oh, and it was a good prayer too, Lord our God. Lord, we just thank you that baby is above normal. Not normal, but above normal. It's going to have plenty of air. Matter of fact, it's going to come out preaching the word, screaming the word. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a great, mighty, wonderful, miracle in this baby, and we praise you for it, Father, because you're going to get the glory. You are the glory, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Go right ahead. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Amen. I believe it. Yeah, that's right, Judy. God has already finished what he created in the womb. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
I'm just thinking about all the different testimonies we heard of, you know, people being told that their baby's this and their baby's that, and the baby's just born perfectly fine. And we just praise you and thank you. That is Jared and Marissa's baby. It's going to happen because he's already healed, Lord. And we just use our imagination and just see him in there just kicking away, just all happy and just... know that when he's born, Lord, he's going to be perfectly fine. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, I believe it. Amen. God's developing his child in his image, you said. Yes, he is. Praise God. He'll look just like Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Pat, you did all right. Okay, great. Praise God. Anybody got a testimony or what? Anything? Well, I got a song, or Judy's got a song. We're gonna do a little worship for us tonight. Go ahead. Let me get you the screen. Lord, I thank you for Phil's absolute new job in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You got the screen, whatever you want. Y'all get ready. This is a stand-up song.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. It's who I got. Every word of worship. With one accord. Take it up, every praise. It's to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise. It's to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah. To our God. Glory, hallelujah. It's to our God. Every praise. With one accord.
Every praise, glory to God. I love that song. Man, if that don't get you juices. Look at all y'all sitting down. What's the matter with y'all? Glory to God. Amen. That was a good one. Thank you, Julie. Okay. Tonight, we are going to talk about something. Yeah. Who was it that came up with that? Let me think here just a minute. That was Vanita. Okay. What was it you wanted to know about the resurrection of the saints after the resurrection of Jesus?
I don't think it says too much about it, so I don't know if...
Well, you had four questions in there, and let me see if I can find it now. Bring it up. You remember what it was?
Not off the top of my head. Okay.
That's okay.
Who, what, when, and why?
Yeah, really. All right. That fudge, dog. Well.
That was Benita's dog.
Oh, was that Benita's dog? Oh, okay.
One of them. That was one of them.
Sorry, I got the.
I got the email if you want me to read what you wrote.
Yeah, read it.
Okay. So can we talk about Matthew 27 verses 51 to 53? And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised, and coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared unto many. And the questions are, I don't really understand why the bodies were resurrected then, and what happened to them afterwards, and why were some of them resurrected and not all, and what does it mean for our day?
Okay, that's some good questions there. Did you ever figure out an answer, Benita?
No, that's why I'm asking.
Oh, okay. Hey, Stephen. Good to see you, brother.
Like I said, I didn't think there was a... Oh, sorry. There was a lot out there.
Yeah, I wanted to hear the answer to this question, too, so I tuned in.
Okay, I'm glad you did. That's actually, there's more than one answer. Okay, that's great. Okay, she had the, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised, and coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection. It was because he was the first fruit resurrection, right? They entered into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, I'm going to make my little statement first, and that little statement is this. We've had many, many words and dreams. In fact, we had one today, and Anna, when Anna comes on, she's going to give it, about people that have died out of UBM coming back. And at the resurrection, at the anointing. Dreams of Holly. We've had dreams of everyone, almost every one of them that has died in UBM. Of them coming back. And we've had one just here recently of a young man that went to be with the Lord here just a few weeks ago. So we'll see. We'll wait till Anna gets here and she can give us that news herself. Okay. Does anybody want to open it up? What does all of this mean? Yeah, Missy, there's a little thing they call the hand that you could put up. I can see a whole lot better.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Just simply put, I believe that it happened to show that as a precursor or as a foretaste of, the resurrection, that Jesus, the power of his resurrection, and as a witness that it wasn't, that it's not just Jesus that's going to be resurrected in the last day, And so I think that's why, it's just as a witness, a proof, And why certain ones and not others, I don't know. But I imagine the ones that were resurrected, that God chose to resurrect, at the same time Jesus was resurrected, were probably godly, holy people. And to show, because like in the last day, they that are alive and remain, that those that are dead will rise first, and those that are alive and remain will meet them in the air. But a lot of them are going to be just like dust in the earth, like these were, most likely. But anyway, that's just the main thing. I think it's just a powerful witness and confirmation of the Lord's resurrection.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Jimmy. I'm sorry, Missy. I'll babysit me up. Emergency email. Sorry. Go ahead, Judy. Anybody want to comment on what Missy said? Okay, go ahead, Judy.
What was coming to me, and Missy just kind of confirmed it a little bit when she said it was for a witness to some, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. I think it would be a witness to a lot of those men who didn't believe there was a resurrection. They appeared to some. And the other thing that was coming to me is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he told Martha that he is the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live. And in those who live and believe will never die. And I believe that I'm just thinking that the people that came out of those tombs that they saw, because we don't know who they were, but it wouldn't surprise me that those people that came out of the tombs were people that had died after they had heard Jesus' gospel. And they were raised with him in the resurrection when he was raised. They came out of the tombs because they heard the gospel and believed they were in Christ, so that they, when he was resurrected, they were resurrected. And I could be very wrong, but that's just what was coming to me. Because otherwise he went to Hades to preach the gospel but that was after that was before the resurrection, because he died, went to Hades, and then he was resurrected. So everyone would have come out at that time, because he preached to the souls in prison at that time. So it could have been just a lot of people, just a lot of old saints. We don't know who they were or how many. I don't think so. That's just what was coming to me.
Amen. Okay, Andrew or Benjamin?
Yeah, that was similar what I got too. I was thinking that the people that were in Abraham's bosom were taken They were resurrected. Some of them showed themselves and to the people to show that there was something to this person that died on the cross here. And they were taken from Abraham's bosom and put underneath the altar in the book of Revelation also for the resurrection. Yeah, that's what I got anyway.
Okay.
But it's not impossible for people to be resurrected to show something that's coming.
He did it once, he can do it again, can't he? He's not only done it once, he's done it numerous times throughout the ages. People coming back to life. Amen. Yes, Pat.
I was just reading that verse. Something in the timing doesn't look right, or I'm misunderstanding it. But in verse 50, it's Jesus on the cross yielding up the spirit and dying. And then at that point in time, the temple was rent, curtain was rent, and the earthquakes had happened, and the tombs were open. And obviously it says the saints that had fallen asleep were raised. And then verse 53, it says, and coming forth from the tombs after his resurrection. Now I'm assuming that's speaking about the Lord's resurrection. But that resurrection didn't happen for 3 days until 3 days later, correct? So I guess I don't, because if you look at verse 54, we're still talking about the time at the cross there where the centurion saw this happening and said that Jesus sure truly was the Son of God. So I'm not quite sure I understand how verse 53 fits in there if we're talking about the Lord's resurrection, because that verse seems to be a bit premature, but maybe I'm misunderstanding what's, you know, the timing factor there.
Well, I think he is just my assumption here, Pat, is they put it in there to make you understand that Jesus was the firstborn of the resurrection people. He was the firstborn. And in order to make him the firstborn, they had to put it in there somewhere. So they chose right there. It would be mine. Mm. And this could all be a spiritual that ties in together. You understand? In a sequence type thing. You'll see what I'm talking about here in a little bit. Go ahead, Jim.
I think it says, and coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection.
Yeah.
So they didn't come out of the tombs after his resurrection. So it wasn't like when the earthquake happened or when the veil was rent. It was just, you know what I mean? He's just, Andrew, he can say it better than I can.
You know, he did say to the lady that was there, I haven't ascended to my Father yet. But where do you go after you die? You know, like we don't really know that what happens as soon as you die. You know,
well, he went down to hell, didn't he?
Yeah, and he had to take Abraham's bosom because he's not going to leave David in there, King David plus everyone else, even Abraham, I think they, in the meantime, the timing there had to be where this happened, because it did happen. People seen it. So it could have been 3 days later. I don't know. That don't make no difference, you know. But he did ascend to the Father too. And he did appear for 40 days straight. You know, so something apparently had to happen there for him to go to the Father, you know. And he came back for 40 days straight. So my idea was always that he took Abraham's bosom and put them all under the altar there, because that's where they belong now. And along with Cain, because he heard Cain's blood there. So he was the first one under the Abel was the first one under the altar, or I don't know if he was the first one. I couldn't tell you where they went when Abel died. There wasn't an Abraham's bosom, but there was some place to put them there too. Someone else answered that. Praise God.
Hey, amen. You just raised a lot of questions, Andrew. That's good. That's good. Okay. Anyone else?
Hey, Michael, can I add something?
Yeah, Chris, go ahead, brother.
Well, I kind of got stuck on the very first part of that about where the veil was rent. And I don't have any biblical proof, but my mind wandered towards when the veil was rent. That could spiritually symbolize the separation of the two different covenants between the old covenant of the Old Testament and the new covenant of the new covenant signified by Jesus' resurrection. And could it possibly be that some of those souls that were resurrected were folks that fulfilled the old covenant? Because when the veil was rent, it seems to me that was a real spiritual significance, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, very well could be. That's some good spiritual revelation there. That's good. Yes, I believe it is, represents that also, as it does other things. Represents the entrance for everybody to the throne of God. The new covenant. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Willie.
Oh, Lord, forgive me. I've been up for 24 hours since I got off work.
Oh, my. Give him strength, Lord.
Yeah. If I mess up on words, you'll have to forgive me. I'm running on fumes right now. Think of it as one of the ways the Lord has been dealing with me, you know, with things like this, is the gospel has a tendency to repeat itself and repeat itself and repeat itself and repeat itself in so many ways. that the Lord delights in repeating the gospel in manifold revelations. If you think of what's happening between these scriptures as the gospel, you'll get the answer. And this, I'm just going to read it out. This is what the Lord showed me. The veil of the temple that was placed over our hearts through sin by the gospel was rent from top to bottom. We are the temple. The earth or man quaked with life, the word of God. The rock, man's heart, was rent by the truth. Many bodies of the saints that were once dead in sin and trespasses were risen from the tombs of the old sinful lifestyle. That's us. After his resurrection, meaning to walk as Christ walked, in the preaching of the life-giving gospel from the dead of sleep, from the dead or sleep of sin, our spiritual resurrection and likeness that we now live, entered into the holy city, believing on the word of God, the kingdom of heaven at hand. That's how we enter into the holy city. And appeared unto many saints. When we receive the word of the kingdom, we then appear to many saints who become saints that receive the word preached unto them. What happened to them after, what happened afterward? Why did the resurrected disappear? Because they were in the world, but not of the world. This is a type of the catching away. They that continue unto the end shall be saved. This event was a type of the gospel and its fulfillment in a nutshell. So everything that was happening was a prophecy. But it was a prophecy being demonstrated in a physical matter. And so God gave us the gospel. It rent the veil. What was the veil? Sin, the law. And so we became free from the law, you know, over our minds, you know, over our bodies, over our souls, over our spirits. The earth quaking, you know, that's the word of God that gives life. You know, and unto them gave he power to become children of God. The rock, the rocks that split, that's our hearts. They were rent by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were once hardened, now they're broken for him. The many dead bodies. We were those many dead bodies. See, this is all prophetic. We were the many dead bodies in the tomb, in the tombs, these bodies, dead in sin. How were we released? Through believing on the gospel, because our hearts were broken. Those rocks were rent. We Now it says many bodies of the saints that were once dead in sin and trespasses were risen from the tombs. And so when we're dealing with the tombs, we're that tomb, you know. But when we became alive in Christ, we were risen. And then we entered into the holy city. Jesus Christ tells us what the holy city is. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when the rocks were broken, we repented. We entered into the kingdom of heaven, the holy city. And then after we entered into the holy city, that which our eyes have seen, that which our hands have handled concerning the word of life, this is what we preach unto you. We appear unto many of the saints. Who are these saints? Christ said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. See, Jesus first entered into that holy city. He came down with that word of God. You know, when it's talk about entering into the holy city, it's the word of God. And so we entered into that holy city. It says that these resurrected people entered into the holy city. They're now walking by, meaning they're walking by the word of God. They take hold of the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand. Now they're going to come and bring this to you, that which their eyes have seen, that which their hands have handled concerning the word of life. Appeared unto many of the saints. These are those who hear the word and are brought to repentance. Then it speaks about these people suddenly being gone. Why are they gone? Because it lets us know once we've, you know, been broken, entered into the holy city, had the word, you know, it speaks about the word being preached. This is all the gospel. You have to break it down spiritually. If you look at it surfacely, you'll think rock, earth splitting, tombs opening. No, he's talking about what has been done to us through Jesus Christ. And so these people come from the tombs. That's us. We came out of the tombs. We went forth because we went into the holy city. And then once we come out the tombs, we go into the holy city. We're taught by the word of God. Then we appear unto many of the saints. Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work of the ministry that I've set forth before them. Paul went into the holy city. I am Christ whom thou persecuted. You see where it's going? And so then Paul was sent, you know, where he's telling us, he's letting us know, once we've been brought up those tombs and gone into the holy city, gone into the word of God, then God will send us to those saints who will believe on the word of God. Those are, you know. And so then after that, it says that these people disappear. Because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And he that continues until the end, the same shall be saved. They should be caught up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air and ever shall be with him. And so this is kind of taking everything and squishing it into a prophetic nutshell of what would happen with the outpouring at the book of Acts, you know, Paul's life, every saint's life, all of us, you know, what Christ has done for all of us to go forth and preach the gospel and bring forth many sons unto heaven. But if we just look at it on the surface, we're going to miss it. But if we look at it with the eyes of the gospel, you'll see that every event was prophetic. And it was condensed. But in that condensing, we see the working, what Christ did for the sins of the world, you know, and it's all the gospel, all of it's there. If you look at it with the eyes of the gospel, most of the answers in the gospel, this is what the Lord told me. If you want your answer, think in the perspective and conscience of the gospel based on the content of what you're reading. And when you look at that content, you say to yourself, what is the veil? He's talking to us. What is the temple? He's talking to us. What is the earth quaking? He's talking to us. We were taken from the dust of the ground, and now we've been quickened. The word of God is alive. And he says it's alive and it's powerful, you know. Then it says that the rocks were broken. Okay, you just said earth. Now, why are you saying rocks? Because he's talking about our stony hearts, you know. And then it speaks about tombs. Once our stony hearts are broken, we come up out of the tomb of sin, out of dead works, out of that dead lifestyle. Then we enter into that holy city where we are taught of God. And then we appear unto many of the saints, you know, causing them to believe on the word of God. And then in the end, when all is summed up, we get caught up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. They disappear. It's all there, the whole entire collaboration. But that's what I got from it.
Hey, Willie, do you mind if I share with you what you sent me so they could have that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put it in the chat.
I write in run-on sentences, so you'll have to forgive me. Punctuations and questions.
They'll figure it out.
Periods.
I tried to do some of it myself, but... Even I could be wrong. Most for sure.
Must be related to Paul.
Yeah. You know, the greatest, that blessing that the Lord showed me to, we have to be interperspective with the gospel. We often have the habit of reading the scriptures and then looking to the outside. When the Lord says judgment must first begin with the house of God. And the judgment he's talking about is his love, you know. And so we got to be more interperspective. How am I that veil? How am I that temple? What does that represent? What does the veil mean for me? What does the temple mean for me? What does the earth mean for me? The rock means for me. What does the, and then you'll begin to see the gospel. Oh crap. The veil was my sin and the law that separated me from my God. You know, oh, the earthquake. God gave life to the earth. You know, oh, the stone broke. That's my heart. That's me. You'll start seeing the gospel being repeated over and over and over in manifold revelation. And it's so delightful because I don't think no one could write that so perfectly that you can see it, the gospel being repeated so many times over, you can't count it. It's just, it happens that many times over. But I find it amazing. But yeah, just take the gospel as inter-perspective. When it's talking about the wicked, you know, when we read Psalms, it says, you know, how have my enemies increased? You know, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, the enemy that increases is not the person on the outside who hates you for preaching the gospel, but the sin that you turn from that is going to increase itself against you to get you to turn back to sin. Your own old sinful passions and desires and weaknesses, you begin to see them all as you surrender more and more to the Lord, and they have a tendency to increase and to bring what used to be pleasure feels like persecution. You know, and they come, those sins begin to come with no longer, you know, the lack of knowledge of not knowing what they are. They feel like they're there with a sword now to separate you from your God. It feels like they're there with spears and shields, you know, and with chariots. And you're just like, Lord, I'm so tempted. I'm so tried by the things, and you're just crying out to God. And then it says the Lord begins to break the teeth of the lion, breaks the staff, and you know, he tells you about what he's, but we see it from an outer perspective because he's using earthly things, but he's trying to tell you of what he's doing with your conscience, what he's doing with your heart, you know. And how the gospel is freeing you from the mind of the flesh, from the fall of man, you know, from the temptations of sin, from evil passions, from demons, from lustful desires. It's always dealing with your conscience because it's a war for the mind. Be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is the thing that the Lord has been showing me. In my readings with the scriptures, but I'll be quiet now.
No,
as much as I got to say.
Well, that's good, Willie. I appreciate it so much. No, Barry, the whole thing's up there. I'm sitting here looking at the last word in that thing is in a nutshell. Everybody got that? Does it say read more down there at the bottom, Barry?
No, I'm using a different version of Zoom. I think it probably has a bug or something, but no worries. Mine's chopped off after believing on the word of God.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Thanks. Yeah.
You know what would be nice? Yeah, Andrew, you got a question or comment? or Ben?
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, did this actually physically happen though? This did physically happen where these people did come out of the tombs, because the people did see something, and the earthquake did happen.
And even it all happened. But you know how God uses the Old Testament as a type and shadow? He brings people through certain things in their lives to show perspective of Christ's coming.
Well, I can definitely see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in there with our baptism. So
yeah. So in this event, the whole entire event, it all happened, but it was all prophetic for things to come. And so, you know,
just like the whole Old Testament.
Yes, God loves doing that. You know, he will repeat it, because we need that. You know, our brains go on a field trip. And so, you know, this was all prophetic. He was telling you what he did for the world. You know, what he did for you and I, you know, how he ripped the veil of our, you know, for us, you know, that was over our minds, over our hearts, you know, the law and everything, and how our hearts were that was the stone in the earth releasing its the earth being shook. When something is being shook, it is to give life. You know, you're shaking. You know, you're moving, you know, you're shaking off, you're basically dead works. But it's all being repeated. And there's more revelation behind it, but I just saw the gospel condensed in such a way in it. It was just a beautiful thing. But all the events did happen, but they were all a prophecy as well.
Yeah, and I like the unveiling part, because we have that verse we all like to quote quite a bit in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an unveiled face, you know, so that could have a parallel there too. So
yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Great. Thanks a lot. That's informative. I'll have to copy the chat at the end.
Okay, time to put it over here. All right. I got it in the outreach slide if anybody wants to get it out of there. Okay. Thank you, Woody. That was awesome. And look who's here. Here comes Anna and the boys and little Miss Shona. Hey, Show. Hey, girl. Hey, girl, you Matthew Stewart looking thing, you, I'll tell you what. Okay. Praise God. Okay, on the same vein that we've been talking about, we have Anna Stewart fixing to present that world famous prophetess is fixing to present. A dream that she had. Anna, do you mind? I'm sorry to have lifted you up, girl. I can tear you down.
Thank you, Lord. Well, it's from the Lord, so it has nothing to do with me, really. Last night, I don't know what you guys have all talked about, but last night I had this dream. Before I saw Michael's email this morning, I don't know when he sent the email about tonight's topic, but I had a dream before that. And in the dream, Leon, our brother Leon, who's now with the Lord, appeared 2 or 3 different times to us. And it was like he would come and go as the Lord had tasks for him to do. It was really interesting. It was like he'd come and tell us something. But it was so casual that I wasn't sure if he was even aware that he'd been dead. And I was like questioning. trying to figure out, does he understand, like, that he's been dead? Like, why is he just strolling in here like nothing happened? And I don't know what all I questioned him, but I was able to perceive that he had no affinity for anything on earth anymore. You know, all he cared about was the people and the task that he had to do. He wasn't attached to anything material. It was really pronounced. Like, he didn't care about anything material anymore. And I actually asked him about his bike, because he, in the dream, I was asking about a bicycle. And, but in real life, he had a Harley. And he was like, that doesn't matter. Like, who cares about a bike? And like, he just didn't care about, you know, earthly things anymore. But I still couldn't tell if he understood, or maybe he was just withholding that information. I don't know. Knowing Leon, that's the kind of thing he might do, you know, just kind of kid with you and act like nothing happened. But so he appeared two or three different times. And the third time he appeared in, I don't remember the messages he was giving, but the third time all he had to say was that the Lord loved us. And it was me and this other brother that were there. And this other brother is someone who's having like some problems with the Lord, you know, is kind of separated from us for now, you know, we're believing for them. And so this other brother was with me. So I think that was really interesting that Leon appeared to them. But so me and this other brother were both crying from overwhelm of the situation. And this man begins to play. There's this harp there, and he begins to play. And this man doesn't play any instruments in real life, but he begins to play. And what he starts playing is the first Noel. And when I woke up, I was like, what does that have to do with anything? And I started thinking about the lyrics. And of course, it's all about the birth of the man child. You know, that's what the first Noel song is about, when Jesus was born. So I was like, I wonder if that's like a timing of when these resurrections are going to take place, you know, kind of tying it all together. I'm not really sure about all that. But then I saw Michael's email and I was like, okay, this has got to be from the Lord, because the chances of this being coincidental are not possible. And I had a similar dream several years ago where Brother Kurt, he passed away several years ago, but he pulled up to our house in a truck, and he got out, and I didn't recognize him because he was a much younger man, but I knew it was Kurt, but I didn't recognize him by, you know, his physical looks. And it was a similar situation. He acted like nothing had happened. And I was like, Kurt, ran over to give him a big hug. And he was just like, what's the big deal? Which is just like Kurt, if any of you know him. But so anyways, they're both kind of similar dreams. So that was it.
Awesome dream. Awesome dream. Yeah, well, that's like both of them showing up and just act like ain't nothing going on, you know. What's the big deal? Wait a minute, you're dead. What are you doing here, for goodness sake? But no, that's a good dream. That's a good message, too. Did he mean that specifically for y'all or for all of you being?
What?
That the Lord loves us.
I'm sure it's to everybody.
Yeah, I
can tell you that. Can you imagine what that would do to, say, someone like in the dream who's struggling?
Yeah.
And they see someone resurrected and all they have to say is the Lord loves you. Like, they don't bring a correction. They don't, like, I don't know. I feel like this is kind of an example for us. They don't hammer them over the head. What's wrong with you? You know, just all they said is just the Lord loves you. And then that was enough to spring the overwhelm and the tears and the praise.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. We believe, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for bringing them back in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, my. I believe that's going to happen, too. All right. Anybody else want to comment on anything we've said tonight? Anybody said? Yeah, it is. It's exciting. You can do what God's doing. what would you do if somebody came in your room that you knew was dead and had been dead for some time? Would you go under the covers? I'm just asking. I don't know. What are you doing here? That'd be cool, though, don't you think? I think that'd be awesome. I'd love to see Leon and Kurt both. All of them. I forget how many we've got up there. It's about a half a dozen. All right. Anybody got any questions or comments on what we've talked about tonight? That's the subject. Let's go. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I know exactly how you'd feel. You'd feel like Lazarus's sister.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my. All right. Hey, Tracy. Good to see you, girl.
God bless you.
You too. You just missed all the resurrections we had. All right. Anybody else? Well, is everybody satisfied with what? Yeah, okay. Thank you, Tracy. Lord bless her to get the training done. Lord, we thank you for these awesome words that we heard from everybody. And thank you for the spiritual words that we got from Willie. Father, just place it in our hearts to look at these words and meditate on them, ask you about them, so that we could also get into that spiritual realm of understanding these types and these shadows. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, has anybody else got another subject that they'd like to go into or have a question? Very inquisitive bunch. Anybody got a question that they've often wondered about on the word that you never really understood? And I'm sure somebody here will have the answer. How many of you don't have a question? Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, it's to see all the different perspectives, you know, because sometimes when we discuss something, we get a lot of more questions after we discuss things. But you know, I was looking at Hebrews chapter 9 about that physical temple that's there, the Holy of Holies and what's in there, and in the holy place and what's in there, you know. Some of it's kind of like I have a little bit of perspective of what it might be, these things, you know, like the manna in the mercy seat there, and Aaron's rod that budded and stuff like that, what some of these things might mean. So, but I just have like a little limited understanding of it. And I think we did study this once before, but you know, this physical temple that they talk about there, let's say the physical temple. At least it's entitled that way in one of the Bibles I have. What would these mean in the spirit, you know, these little items, these the pieces of furniture, the showbread table, the bread that's there, and the light of Israel, the menorah candle that's there. What's the significance of these things for our temple? The last time I think we studied this was pretty far, a long time ago. We may have done it even more than once, but no, if there's anyone that would have any revelations on that. But I'm not saying that's what we should study or anything. I just would find it interesting. Anyway, praise God. But it's not a question, really. It's just, no, it would be a desire for me to have this. But if someone else has a question, that would be better for us to get to that first. Anyway, praise God.
I just got an email from David. Y'all mind going into prayer for a minute? Okay. This is from Claire. She said, at 1 a.m., I woke up thinking about a specific cake shop I used to go to often in Pretoria, South Africa. I couldn't remember the name until eventually I Googled it and realized the name was Isabella, which is a derivative of Jezebel. The first image on Google is the black and white floor tiles, which represent the Freemason witchcraft. I send this on to you so you know that we've got these four things coming against the bride right now, probably specifically in Africa. Jezebel, Freemason, Bulls of Bashan, and Heket, H-E-K-E-T. Rayan and I both are in agreement that these spirits are rife in Catholic and JW tradition. They will not prevail unless you receive some confirmation verses. And then she also sent dreams and experiences last night. This is the night that we had remember when we came on and we all had we warred against the death of these martyrs last, I believe it was Sunday night. Is that right? Anyway, dreams and experiences last night included seeing the same scene I saw when Michael called us to prayer before the outreach meeting for resurrection. That's right. That was Tuesday night. Resurrection of Martyrs. To back up a bit, share this from Wednesday morning during that prayer session. During that prayer, I saw bodies on the ground with the spirit of hate hovering over the ones on the left. This was sent by the faction. Then I saw my own angel walk among the bodies with his sword. He told me the following: come against principality of hate and loose the perfect love of Christ to overflow and give life abundantly. We did that, and we sent more angels. I then had a vision of bullet wounds healing, but I don't know if these saints were shot. Then I had a vision of many more angels pouring out power from their hands as they walked in between the bodies. Then by the time we went to bed on Wednesday, I had another vision of the bodies without any spirit of death near them. On Thursday, which was today, I kept on seeing the faintest pink sky in the vision like the very start of dawn. Last night, Thursday night, early Friday morning, as it was after 1 a.m., I saw major attacks coming. I was in bed and could not sleep. I know Rion was struggling to sleep too based on movements and sound, but we never spoke. This is what I saw. First, I saw you, David, translated to the martyrs to pray for and with him. This got me praying in my mind. Then I saw the Bulls of Bashan coming directly for us. similar to that bull that was here during the insomnia attack last year, if you remember. I also saw Hecate again, and she was very angry about us praying for the martyr. She threatened me in the spirit and in the vision. I woke Rion up, we got up and prayed, but in the natural, we did not even see each other in the dark. I knew we were fighting the same things, even if he cannot see it. We prayed and prayed, and in this vision, I saw another vision of dawn breaking over the martyrs again. This time, the pink sky brighter, and it reminded me of Resurrection Sunday. I continued to pray, and the spirits left. The vision ended. These were not prayers of fear or pain. They were binding and loosing prayers. And get out filthy spirit prayers. Then I had the sweetest, deepest sleep, and now I am awake. I'm sure the Lord will reveal more as time goes by, but I'm expecting a miracle there with the martyrs. Those principalities, the bulls and Hecate, are sent to call stumbling to the bride body and anyone associated with the UBM. They are sent to cause division. It's already started, so we need to pray against faction. Through false teachings, and are sent to cause moral shame due to perversion and lust. What the faction does not know is that the bride has clean hands and a pure heart. She cannot be tempted with these things. She sees the deception and temptation like Jesus saw it in the wilderness. And she too is in the wilderness. Saints must be knit together now, accountable and focused on lifting each other in prayer. No negativity or slander, lest we all fall down. Oh. I believe the Lord wanted me to write this last paragraph specifically above, as it is not my own wisdom, and many word from the Lord, if you will. We prayed these spirits gone last night. We won on this front. This can and will continue because Jesus wins every battle. He's won the war. Death and curse have no power. Be blessed and not discouraged. Well, okay, let's pray. Y'all ready to pray? Glory to God. Father, we just stop. Let me get back up here where I can tell what to pray. We come against Jezebel. We come against Freemason. We come against the bulls of Bashan and Hecate over there in Africa and here also. In the name of Jesus, we bind up your attacks upon our people in Jesus' name, and we command you by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ to cease your actions now against God's people. And we praise you, we thank you, Father, that it is done. And I praise you, Father, for moving them out in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to continue to fight for these people over in Africa and in the Middle East. And we praise you, Father, for doing this over there, too. We break the power of these principalities and powers over there in Jesus' name. Over this month, and we thank you, Father, for loosing your bold faith over there in amongst those missionaries. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of them. And we come against Satan, Satan, you're defeated. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that the war is over. Satan, you have been found out, you're bound. And we thank you, Father, for that. Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And we come against the two factions over there that are coming against God's people. We bind up everything. Lord, we send your angels over there to scatter them, create confusion in amongst them, create faction between them in Jesus' name, just like you did the last time. And we praise you, Father, for doing that now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, that the angels are sent to do their job. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Lord, we do. We lose your love in this faction. We lose your love to bring them to the glory of the truth of the gospel. And we thank you for it. We praise you, Father, that love that they've seen from these martyrs, they don't fight back to them. They just turn the other cheek. And take it. And Father, we just thank you that they don't understand love. All they've ever seen is hate, murder. And we praise you, Father, that the love is going to affect them and bring them in. And we praise you, we glorify you for the work that you're doing in each and every one of them there. In Jesus' name. Does anybody else want to pray? Glory be to God. Lord, I thank you that we have the victory. Thank you, Jesus. I come against faction on this outreach and on the local. In Jesus' name, I command you to cease your activity upon our people. In Jesus' name, and Father, we thank you that you're going to change the people that have dropped off into this and bring them back with your love, Lord. Just like somebody long ago was talking about the love of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for doing it. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Somebody else want to pray? Y'all believe it's done? Glory to God. Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. We got the victory. Thank you, Jesus. And continue praying for the missionaries over there. And pray for provisions for all those children that they've got in the orphanage over there. Yes. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Yes, that's exactly right. Lord, we thank you for filling all of us, your Holy Spirit. We come against rejection and fear of man out of any of them. In Jesus' name, and Father, we thank you that they are bold as a lion now. In Jesus' name, and they've got trust completely in you, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you for what you're doing right now in them, Lord. Because they trust you. You're all they have. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. We cast down brokenhearted and grieving for those that were martyred. I believe, Lord, you're still going to raise those men, all 31 of them. And I praise you for it. Translate David over there to do it, to show him faith, or me, or both of us. Or anybody that can show them faith, Lord. We thank you for that. Jesus, that would be so awesome. That would be so awesome, Lord. We just praise you. We glorify you for doing that. And it would be cool to send David over there to show them faith and trust to believe that you'll follow up and do what your promises say in the word. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Isaac.
You know, something's really interesting about what you just shared, Michael, about Claire's dreams and visions. I see Rufio, you said heck, I didn't know what that was. I've never heard of that before. You know, spirit of perversion, right? Well, here's the thing. I just had a dream last night that there was a baby trying to crawl on a frog, and I pulled the baby off. And I said, stay off that frog. Well, I looked up Heket and you know that it's, the form of a frog. I don't know, man. That's just pretty wild stuff right there.
Really?
Yeah, I sure did. Well, the Lord gave it to me. Why does I say that?
I did. Yeah, frog. So a lot of times, the spirit of lust, perversion, hawk. I saw one wrapped around a man one time. It's about a 6-foot frog. My gracious sakes alive. He came home. Okay. We come against that in the name of Jesus. I could tell you this from past experiences. The faction. It seems like to me that most of the faction goes into perversion when they faction out. Most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. Yeah, Theo or Lana.
Hey, everybody. We just wanted to share something in connection with Isaac's dream. So Theo and I had noticed in the last 2 days that our boys were super interested in why little boys do not look at little girls, long story short. And since I have three boys and I am the only female in the house, I felt like maybe, you know, this was natural and, we don't have little girls for them to play with, especially not in our household because it's just three boys. Anyways, as we were praying here, I looked at Fio and I said, we're under attack. This is not normal. This is not natural. Our boys are being attacked by this spirit of perversion. And when Isaac mentioned that dream, it confirmed it to me. Because as we were praying, Fio and I both commanded this spirit out of here and we rebuked it in the name of Jesus. And also, I've had a personal question to the Lord that I've given over to him. And all of a sudden, it seemed to crash all over my head yesterday. And it's been oppressing me. And it's something that should have caused faction between Fio and I, but by the grace of God, it didn't. I kept giving it to him. I kept turning to the Lord. And it finally, this whole thing laid off of me about this afternoon. And that was after I just sat down and started casting down everything that came to mind and witchcraft and word curses and faction were the three main things I remember praying about before this thing finally loosed its grip off my mind in general. So just some confirmations about what we've been going through the last 2 days. But this thing with the perversion on the children, Father God, I lift up every child associated with our families that live within our families, Father God, and we forbid this spirit of perversion from taking hold in their minds and causing, Father God, all kinds of unnatural things, unnatural inquiries, curiosities to start happening within their precious and innocent minds. Father God, I rebuke this and I command those spirits to leave now in the name of Jesus. Yes. We will not put up with you. We will not endure it for even a minute in the name of Jesus. Our children are covered by the blood of Jesus. Our children are surrounded by a hedge of protection because we as their parents walk in sanctification and we command this and it is done in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Glory be to God. We've got the victory. Thank you, Father, for your protection upon our children. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your warrior angels round about each household that has children. In Jesus' name, protect them. Amen. How many of you know that you have to have spiritual warfare every day, just about? If not every day, I think you have to have it every day. You have to keep the guards up. These spirits are bound and determined. They know their time is short. Yeah, that's right, Phil. By the hour some days. Amen. Anybody else want to pray against anything that's going on in your family or around you? I come against the enemy that comes against our families that are not saved. And I praise you, Father, that you are bringing salvation to them because we believe it. We believe that you are doing household salvation even as we speak. And I thank you, Father, for what you told me. You told me, just don't worry about your family. Do what I've asked you to do. I've got your family in my hands, and I ain't turning them loose. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for everybody here. And I know you are. I know you are. You're not a respecter of person. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for placing it on each one of us not to get anxious about what our families are doing. It doesn't make any difference. We believe and trust you, what you say. You said you're going to bring them in. I believe it. I'm not going to worry about nothing anymore. It don't make no never mind what they're doing in the physical. That makes no difference whatsoever. You've got control of this. You know what you're doing. And I praise you and I glorify you for it. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we know that sometimes they have to go through things in order for you to get their attention. And sometimes it's not too good, but that's okay. We know that you're in charge and we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Yeah, Benita.
I had another little question, probably easy to answer, but I was reading in John 8:31, and he's talking to the Sadducees and Pharisees, and he says, hold on, let me see. It says, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, if ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. And so right there, he's saying that these are the Jews specifically who believed him. And he's telling them, if you abide in my words, then you're truly my disciples. And then as you read further down in John 8, he ends up basically saying that, you know, they have a discussion and they say we're the sons of Abraham. And he basically in the end says, you are called the children of the devil. And so I guess my question, and maybe I should read the whole thing, I don't know, but basically the question was, you know, in the beginning of that whole thing at 8:31, he says that these are the Jews that believed him, but then in the end, he ends up saying that they are the children of, you know, they don't abide in him. They're, even though they're sons of Abraham, they're not his sons, essentially. So it just seemed, I don't know, it just seemed odd to me that these were the ones that believed, and yet in that discourse for the, you know, I should probably go there, 8:31.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. If you remember, how many of them was it? That was with Jesus when he started talking about, if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, how many of them took off? There's a bunch of them took off. They couldn't figure it out. What in the world is this man talking about? Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had, past tense, believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then they wanted to go ahead and argue with him. They were, but they're not anymore. Yeah, I'm missing. Looks like to me.
Yeah, that just always impressed me. And I, you know, what I have written here and is what came to me. But they believed, Satan believed that Jesus was the Son of God, didn't he? Okay. They believed he was the Son of God, but didn't repent and be a disciple. And they believed he was who he was, but that didn't make him a disciple. That's was what I get out of it, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't really repent and believe it and truly be a disciple.
Well, he was giving them guidelines how to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he told them, he said, the Jews that have believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they won't argue with him. That's the difference. They had already made up their mind that Jesus was not the Son of God. Looks like to me. What y'all think?
So they might have been in the first group of the parable of the sowers, if they even got that far.
If they even got that far, yeah. They believed on him at some point in time, it looks like. But they quit believing on him. Jesus was trying to bring him back in. If you abide in my word, he's telling them, here's the conditions of salvation. If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, obedience. That's the same thing with us, folks. What is faith? Trust in God. That's what it is. Trust in God. Yeah, Andrew and Benjamin.
Well, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Another good one to add to that.
Amen.
You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
I'm not sure about the verse now, but at one place, the Lord also said, if you abide in me and I in you, not just abiding in me, you can choose the Lord, but if I'm not abiding in you and you abiding in me, it must be the sap flowing from one. I think you talk about when in the vine. It must be from both sides and not just one side.
Maybe.
So thanks.
You can't just be flowing one way, can it? It's got to be going both ways. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else got a question or an answer? Yep, Stephen.
I didn't have a question. I was just putting the verse in that he had mentioned.
Yeah, I knew that. I was just acknowledging that you put it in there. Okay, praise God. Yep. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Yeah, we need it.
Since I got an open mic here. Another question. Okay, so I've been writing these down as they come to me. So Revelation 19:17, it says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in mid heaven, come and be gathered together unto the great supper of God. So when he's talking about the birds that fly in mid heaven, what does that symbolize or represent? And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in mid heaven, come and be gathered together unto the great supper of God.
All right, anybody? Let's go ahead and read the rest of it.
More. Yeah, there needs to be.
That you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit. And the flesh that sit thereon, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, and small and great. What that is. All right, anybody want to answer that question? Come on, pal, Bible scholars, all of you. Revelation chapter 8. 19, chapter 19, 17 and 18, Jim. What do you think, Willie? You awake? Amen. Anybody got the answer? Come on, man.
You kind of have to read the whole thing and put it all in context, so it takes a minute.
seems like the timing of this is at the end of the great and terrible day of the Lord, before the beginning of the millennium, this would be the finale of God's wrath.
Yeah. Looks like it, doesn't it? Anybody else? Generally, if you'll do this, if you'll go on the verses that you have want answers for, if you'll go probably 7 or 8 verses up and 7 or 8 verses down from them, most generally, you can figure it out what he's talking about. Let me just ask something here real quick. What is faith to you? Not what you've heard people say it is. What is faith to you personally? Yeah, Benita.
The first thing that just came to mind was just believing I have received something that I cannot see, but just believing that I've received, I have faith that I've received it.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer. Yeah, Julie.
Amen, Benita. It would be for me, it's believing what God's word said, which is eternal, which is forever, which is Jesus, which is, you know, the life. It's believing that over and above everything we see, feel, and, you know, discern with our natural senses. It's everything contrary to the things you're going through, and even though you don't yet see it yet, it's done, it's finished, and just keep believing what God says until it comes, until it happens, because it's the truth.
Amen. That's the truth. It's going to happen. If he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Is it that we have faith in our faith?
No.
No. You know, you can't have faith in your faith. You'll fail. You can't get more faith. Listen, if you just do away with faith and just trust God, I trust God gonna do it. Because God, Jimmy, he knows I need it. Bless God, it's gonna happen. That's what you have to do.
He promised. He promised. Yes. He promised. He promised.
Don't break our promise.
And he doesn't go back on his word. He didn't lie. He promised. God, you said. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
God said. Go ahead, Miss.
Let God be true and every man a liar. God is not a man that he should lie.
Are you calling the doctors liars?
Well.
Yes, you are. That's good. I remember what Lake said about doctors. Now, I hate to say this, but this is what he said about it. He said, a Christian going to the doctor, it's like somebody lying. It's a sin. He said, what would you think if you saw Jesus going to the doctor? Huh? I'm just saying. I'm not trying to put the law on anybody or anything. I'm just trying to teach you a little bit of faith here. Faith is believing that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. It's trusting God to do what he says. When you say, well, I just don't think I got enough faith. Well, what you're saying is I don't trust God. I don't believe God can really be trusted. But when you just believe God and his word, you know his word is true. We've seen it time and time again. We just believe him. It takes all the stuff off of us and puts it on God, doesn't it? When we put it on God that way, we're free of any condemnation. God said, I'm here. And I know we're all struggling with something here, there, you know, it doesn't make any difference. But just keep persevering in your trust of the Lord. Remember that story of the little boy? I told it the other night. The little baby boy that died, or the young boy that died, and his dad kept praying. He kept praying, believing God, believing God. The Lord said, son, you're going to have to go back. He ain't going to leave it alone. I got to send you back, because he was persevering in his faith. He said, wasn't going to let go. He's not letting that boy go. And back to earth he had to go. That's the type of faith he's looking for in us. And that's the way we're looking for the martyrs over there. Looking for the martyrs over there. I don't care how many days they've been in there. 3 days? I don't care. Doesn't make any difference. How many days was Lazarus in the tomb? 4 days, wasn't it? Bless God, he come out of there. How many days was the guy over in Africa, the preacher over in Africa that had the car wreck? Was it 3 days or 4 days? Okay. 3 days. Okay. Well, she wasn't giving up, was she? She's going to take that body and stick it right in front of, what's his name? The South African preacher there. But they wouldn't let him take it up, so they took it downstairs and they prayed over it for how many hours? Long time. And finally came to life. Because they didn't give up. That's what we do. We think we can say one little old prayer and it's gone. And then we got everything done. Oh, you stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. You persevere in your faith until it's done. People's lives depend upon us. They depend upon us. We're dealing with the enemy here, and they want to do nothing but kill, steal, and destroy God's people. And it takes our faith, which is just trust in God. That's all it is. Lord, I trust you. Do you really, Michael? Yeah, I do, Lord, I do. Okay, we're going to find out. And then he puts you through a trial, doesn't he? Puts me through a trial. But I know what the end result is. Because we know what the end result is, because God told us what the end result is. You're healed. You're delivered. You're set free from all of those things. When Jesus talked about a type of faith, he was talking about a faith that perseveres, a faith that decides from the beginning what the results are going to be like. And he don't stop until that situation looks like the result that you want. And I keep going on until what the Bible says I am. By his stripes I am healed. And if you stop before then, that's little faith. Or no faith in some cases. He's not talking about an amount of faith. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to trust God, does it? He's talking about perseverance in that faith. Standing on the word. He said, when you stand, stand. That's the faith he's looking for. What you going to do when you go out there and you see all these people laying on the ground out there, some disease comes through and strikes people dead in the street? And the Lord says, raise them up. And you go over there and it's not, you know, it's not something that you can just go over there and say a word. It's going to happen sometimes. A lot of times it will. Sometimes it won't. You stay with it until he comes out, until he does what God's told you to do. And that's to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. Boy, that's called showing people signs and wonders. And we do it through our perseverance and the trust that we have in the Lord God Almighty to do what his promises tell us he can do and will do. We can use the name of Jesus like a sword, can't we? That's what he told us. He says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Isn't that what he said? Amen. Y'all know I like to talk about faith because that's something that's always been foremost in my walk with the Lord. As I was talking about early on in my Christian walk. And I love the different aspects that come out with faith. And the one that I found that works the best is just trusting God. Trust in the Lord. Not trusting in your faith. Don't trust in your faith, you fail. Trust in the Lord. Okay, I'm down off soapbox. Anybody got any questions? Yeah, he said we're going to do. That's right, Barbara. He said we're going to do greater works than he. How are we going to do those greater works? We're going to trust the Lord. You get up there on. You go ahead, Missy. I'm going to come up with that day.
I just thought of something. A question that has to do with faith. In Romans 12, I believe it says that each one has been given a measure of faith. What does that mean? And I'm not asking because I know the answer. Because I don't.
I'm sorry.
I know.
You remember what the word says? The word said the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. You can take mustard seed and shake it out of a salt shaker. That's how big that seed is. So it doesn't take a lot of faith. A mustard seed.
Okay. Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He said, you have faith the size of a mustard seed. You can tell this mountain to go over there in that sea and it'll happen. How many of you know that's big faith? And that faith is just believing that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. I'm going to do that one of these days. I'm going to tell a mountain to move. Somebody going to say that? Every mountain that we have that comes up in front of us is a mountain. Big mountain, didn't it?
So are you saying that okay, because when it says God had verse 3 says I say through the grace that was given to me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think as to think soberly according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office. So are you saying, to me, why I always look at that is some have been, when is this like saying that when someone comes to the Lord, repents and believes in the Lord, or is it each one's given a different measure of faith? Is it saying that everyone has been given the grain of a mustard seed faith and that it needs to grow from there? That's what my question, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yes, you're not so much your faith needs to grow as your trust in the Lord. I'm trying to get you to understand it's trusting the Lord rather than trusting in your faith.
Right.
Because if you trust in your faith, most of the time you're going to fail. We have to trust in the Lord. He said he's given us a measure of faith. Well, how much is that measure of faith? It don't take much, does it? He said the faith the size of a mustard seed. That's a little bitty thing. It doesn't take much faith. What he's saying is trust me. And how do you trust the Lord? By getting in the Word and understand what the Word says.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of
yes.
God.
Yes. That's when you learn to trust the Lord. And faith. You know, it's faith is that. Calling those things that are not as though they were. Yeah, Judy.
It's kind of going along with what Missy was saying is in Matthew 13, where he gives a lot of parables about the kingdom of heaven. In verse 31, it says, another parable set he before them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is less than all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the heaven come and lodge in its branches thereof. And I was just thinking, like what Missy was saying, it, you know, it grows.
Yeah.
You know, our faith is supposed to grow, because the more you exercise your faith like a muscle, it gets bigger, it gets stronger, and you know, you're able to do more with your faith. But we all start out, you know, with that measure of faith. I mean, Isaac's testimony about his son, you shared Tuesday night, you know, his cast out that demon of sadness. That just blessed my heart. You know, like a child, faith is a child. And, you know, it's like, that's that little, you know, I think that scripture is like, if you don't doubt, right, you will do these things. And that's where the enemy comes in, you know, with that doubt, puts that doubt in your mind about anything. And that's what we have to guard against and just fight against that, because God said, just that small faith is all I need.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Just takes a little bit of faith. I'll tell you something else that helped. Boy, that helped me more than anything. That's finding somebody that had faith and hooking up with him and going with him and watching him or her pray and see what happens. Because, man, that when I did that as a young Christian, I wasn't a year old in Christ when I hooked up with that guy. And I saw that God could do the things that the church was saying that God doesn't do anymore. And I saw people getting healed. And I said, oh, my goodness, what is this? You know? And then when you get with somebody like it, you learn how to do it. You learn to trust God. So, okay, when I put my hands on them, they're going to get healed. Glory to God. And that's the way your attitude you have to have. You have to have that attitude. It's not me doing it. It's God doing it through me. And he's going to use me, bless God. Because I trust him. And it's not you that's doing anything other than obeying God. Trusted him. Any more questions? Or comments. The thing that we often do, yeah, Joe, I'll get right to you. The thing that we often do is we get anxious. We've got that McDonald mentality where we got to jump up there and get a Big Mac and get on out of there and get to eat. That's not the way God works. God works. He wants you to learn when you're going, while you're doing it. And the only way sometimes we can learn is do it over, over, and over, and over, and over again. And see it happen. And just believe. Go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking, Missy was a question, but everybody get a measure of faith. I was thinking about this. It's the same as Lord gives you, it's like a seed, put you in the ground. It's not what you're going to do with that seed in the ground. And it's not where everybody got big and smaller, but I give you a measure. Now you have to let it grow by your faith and your walk.
Absolutely. That's good. That's a good amount. Thank you, Lord. All right. We're almost out of time here. Anybody got a prayer request? How many of you know when we pray, it happens? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Joe.
Just add something, last thing. When you were talking, on your teaching yesterday, when you're talking about John G. Lake and everything, what comes to me, my Lord gave me is say, for instance, just for instance, I'm lying to somebody. I'm confessing. Child, you confess to the Lord. Lord, please forgive me. I've sinned against you. You believe that's already been done. That's fine. But why is it so difficult? Well, for me, it's for healing. It's the same faith. It's the same. You believe for God. Yeah, you can't see it. God forgives you your sin for your lying. But now healing is, should be, healing is just maybe more a bit manifestation as what the forgiveness. It's still, you trust the Lord for faith. I hope I can explain that right.
I think I understand. You were basically saying that the same thing I was. Basically, I missed a lot of it because you're going too fast. Go ahead, she can interpolate.
I'll try. I think he was saying that, you know, it's like you can ask God for, like, for instance, you confess your sin of lying or something, and you go to God and you say, I lied, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. Will you believe by faith that you're forgiven for your sin? So it's the same thing when you ask God for anything or healing or whatever, even though you don't see it, it's I'm still healed because I asked God and he did it. Is that what you meant, Joe? It's just like, even though it's...
Yeah, it's the same thing, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, amen.
It's the same faith. Are you healed the same?
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe. Well, I was just thinking the same thing. It's like you can, you know, I've heard other people, other Christians talk like this when I was in the church system. And it's like, when they were trying to talk about faith, it's like, well, you believe you're going to heaven when you die, right? Because you're saved. So why can't you believe other things? Why can't you believe other things? Why can't you believe for other things? Just because they haven't really been taught faith. You know, but they just believe they're going to go to heaven. I was one of those. I just believe I was going to go to heaven because that's all I knew. You know, I didn't know what faith was. So, you know, it's much bigger. Salvation is so much bigger than what they know and understand.
Yeah, the faith that, if I'm not mistaken, what I've heard them say is faith to them is believing that Jesus died and he was resurrected. He's sitting up on the right hand of the Father interceding on us, bless God. Well, that's true, but that's not what faith is. Yeah, Isaac.
Yeah, like, Joe. Well, like Joe was saying, why is it easier to receive and have faith? Oh, I've been forgiven. And then sometimes, you know, we can struggle with healings. I know that's happened to me. On a few different times, especially with all the animals I've raised. And I was thinking about that because that was a really good question that I have not thought of before.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking for myself, why is that, Isaac? And sometimes it's because it's tangible, you know, healing, right? And spiritual. You just believe it, but that's where our eyes deceive us, and in our natural realm, we get deceived by it. And it brings me back to my testimony about my youngest. That was the first thing he did. He just rebuked that sadness because our soulish realm, our mind, our emotions, our will is so determined by our natural that really we have to get out of it. And obviously that takes the worth of faith coming from the reading and hearing the word. But yeah, no, that was just a really interesting question, something that I've never thought of before. But it will, though. The way we believe for forgiveness will be the way we believe for healing. It's just, well, you know what? It's just that way now. How about that? How about I just say it that way? It's just, thank you, Lord, that I just know it's done and I can rest and not be deceived by my own senses. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. All right, well, we're out of time. Go ahead, Missy, quickly.
Well, you know, you believe you're forgiven, and if you understand the greater gospel, if you've been forgiven, then the curse of, if you've been forgiven of sin, then the curse of sin is gone, which is sickness, you know, all those other things, all the curse. So, but, yeah, but, like Isaac was saying, you know, it's still a You know, it's like you've taught on Kenyon about the not sense knowledge. You know, that's in the physical realm. Your senses are in the physical realm, and you got to believe. You know, walk by faith and not by sight. You know, so anyway.
Amen. That's right. Samuel says, "But which is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk?" Amen. You can do both if you like. All right. We're out of time. God bless you. We thank you, Father, for helping us out tonight. We thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. We praise you, Father, because we already know that it's done. Place it in our hearts also, Lord, to keep up the spiritual warfare against the enemy, against this fellowship and all of our brothers and sisters all across the world. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, saints, God bless you.